So I just need to confirm your name.
Pardon?
I just need to confirm that you're Russell Shartz.
Russell K. Shartz.
900 North 4th Street. Cimarron, Kansas. Mm-hmm. Place of birth.
Great Bend.
Oh, okay.
We lived at Belpre and Larner, and that's where all the Shartzes come from.
Right.
Elmwood.
Okay. And you said your birth date is the
26th.
Okay. And what year?
34.
Okay.
You got that wrong, don't you?
Well, here's...
I mean, you know what that...
Yeah, here's the month.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so branch of service...
I was in the U.S. Army.
Okay. And then they ask for a battalion, regiment, division, unit, whatever.
Well, that's a good question. Just when I graduated from basic training, I took it in Fort Bliss, Texas,
mm-hmm.
if that's...
Well, yeah, that's important.
Yeah. And let's see... So this is what I was wondering, what grain, because of SP3, when I got out of it, a component branch or a class of ASU, you know what that is?
No.
Well, I was in the Transportation Corps.
Okay, a corps would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what was your rank?
Well, it says SP3, I think that's a sergeant in it, or a corporal.
SP3.
Three, okay. T... Dash and circle around it, and the 28th of February of 55.
Okay, is that when you got out?
I guess so.
All right, when did you enter?
It ought to be before that, hadn't
it? I hope.
Service qualification 7. See page 38. I don't have page 38.
Well, it must be that 1955.
Year 55 must be. Effective date of separation, August 19th, 55.
Okay, and when did you enter?
It's got to be here somewhere. Because I transfer station to Fort Lewis, Washington when I went overseas. That was my birthday. Male, Caucasian, brown. I might have been brown hair. Been a long time ago. And... man, I've lost a lot of weight since I graduated.
So how long were you in there?
Not quite 22 months. They got out a little early so I could help plant wheat or something at home.
So you've been, you'd say, about
months.
2 years.
Yeah.
Okay, so 1953 might have been when you joined. Right, if you're getting out in 1953.
Yeah, it was because I went to Fort Bliss, Texas, and... The dirt and wind blows down there are terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then I went back to that school, but they don't say anything about that.
Okay, so there wasn't a war going on.
It had ended when I graduated. It was still going on, I think, when I went in.
Okay, the Korean War?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you, so where did you do your military service? Here in the United States?
No, in Japan. And I rode a ship to Korea for 22 months. And it was not a R&R center. Here this is, R&R Center, 8095th AU. And here it's got this other stuff down here. Fort Eustis, Virginia.
Oh, okay.
And then shipped over to Washington State and then over to Japan.
Okay. Oh, here. You were inducted November the 19th, 1953.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds right because...
Okay. All right. That's just to make sure we have that. All right. So then there's just a series of questions I'll ask you.
Okay.
You graduated from high school in 1952.
Mm-hmm.
And then you joined in 1953. What prompted you? Oh, did you enlist or were you drafted?
I enlisted and drafted. I think I was drafted then.
Okay.
Before it went down there. Because when I remember about that, and they went to Kansas City is where we took our physical.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got all done. The guy says, you got anything wrong with you? Yeah, it says I'm flat-footed, so he took my shoes off. You are flat-footed.
But that didn't keep you out of the...
No. It's, mm-hmm. They put you in a basis where you didn't have to walk quite as far or something.
Okay.
Because, you know, I was war was ending down, you know, then about mm-hmm. that time.
And were there other people, young men from Cimarron, that were inducted at the same time?
Well, Charlie Rice, yeah, from Cimarron. He worked at McGurk Chevrolet down here.
Okay.
And because a lot of others, that was the only two. We ended up at Fort Bliss, and he'd been in the National Guard or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he was our main, what do you call us? Main soldier at there, the sergeant that he helped. I mean, he was, he had that experience. So we lived in five-man huts there and everything that had been German of the German War.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we took basic training down there in.
Oh,
so you all had to do is throw a little water in the,
and clean them out.
Scrubbing the floors, yeah.
What was your could you describe your basic training, what you did and what they trained you in?
Well, we were even short of rifles. They didn't have enough rifles to give us in basic training. We had to trade them off. I mean, they were running out of everything, you know. It's a good thing the war ended.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to walk about 5 miles to where we got out and shot, you know, in the firing range and all that
so
stuff.
So they were teaching you the basics of shooting and fighting.
Right.
Okay.
And war, I mean, that was, and like I say, it was, we lived in five-man huts and the sand down there blows very good.
Mm-hmm. You said that before. Did you then choose an area to go into, or did they just assign you?
Well, I think I must have chose transportation corps, because that'll be driving a truck or something ought to be nice. But I never drove a truck.
Mm-hmm.
It's transportation, and that other stuff listed there is, like I said, I got it shipped over there, and then I went to... because we had, you know, 6 weeks, was it, or something, basic training, mm-hmm. then that second school, Fort Eustis, Virginia, and then they shipped us to Washington, and then we shipped a ship over there.
Okay, so when the second school, was that in transportation, a school?
Mm-hmm, that's where we went to transportation.
So what did you learn there? I mean,
well, it covered a broad section, you know, and it really, because... Half our class went to Germany and the other half went to Japan.
Did you have a choice?
No. They took them on whatever, because I would have loved to have went to Germany, because that's mm-hmm. where my relation comes from. And
sure.
See what all that was like. But Japan was really good duty. Mm-hmm. And we were in an 8-story Yashinko building, and it had been the from England there. Thing that located there, and it was the only in that. No, I told you I couldn't remember the name of it now. But it was Kobe, Japan, was the name of where we went. And that was a seaport, and then there was a base on in, you know, where we done some more training.
United
there.
States base.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like I say, that was the only building standing in Kobe.
Because of the war?
Yeah, they'd been bombed. Bad.
Okay.
Why that one building? But that's where, and this other place where we went is where the Japan started. Because mm-hmm. we went up there 7 miles or so, and that was where Japan originally originated, you know, back whenever it was and stuff.
Okay, so they hadn't started rebuilding since the war
you got there. Well, they had started some, but mm-hmm. it was... First, they built a base back there to be on and come into town, because Kobe was a big town, kind of like, what's the one by Japan, or by, it'll be Russia.
All I know about is Tokyo and Hiroshima and...
Yeah. Well, Hiroshima was south, Tokyo was north, and mm-hmm. if you get a map out, there's an inland sea there, and that was where we hauled troops from there to just inside of Korea there. We made 2 trips a week, and they come back on R&R and stuff.
Okay.
I was the only soldier permanently stationed aboard everything and everything.
Okay.
And then we hauled ammunition over there sometimes and different things.
All right, so let me back up a little bit. When you went to Washington, you went on a train,
No, they flew us from Fort Eustis
to Washington.
To the Seattle, Washington. There.
Okay, and then did you board a ship?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. And that took you to Japan.
Right.
How long was that voyage?
Oh, about a week or something like
that. Was
that
interesting? And
yeah, well, you know, you got guys in a real bunch of bunks, and they're throwing up and everything.
All right, well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you then got there, and how large was, how many soldiers might have been on that base? Was it a large one?
Well, no, it was kind of in downtown Tokyo. You know, that's where they signed all the peace treaties and stuff. And we went through an ordination thing there,
mm-hmm.
and went down to Kobe and rode the train down there to it and stuff. And
okay.
Like I said, and a lot of, I met a lot of fellow guys that was in the service that rode ships up there and got to say hello to them. And then we get on these, made two trips a week. So
mm-hmm.
it had been 3 days for each trip, and then one Sunday or something we.
All right, and this would have been in trucks.
No, we hauled them on a ship over to Korea.
Oh,
they
I
come
see.
Back to Japan on R&R, and we issued them a uniform and.
Oh.
Because they didn't have any dress uniforms in Korea or anything, you know.
Okay. And these were the ones that were stationed in Korea after the Korean War, and they were, in essence, protecting that 49th parallel.
Right. And then, like I said, because I think the war was on a little bit when I was first there, yeah. Maybe it ended. You can remember the dates.
Yeah,
there.
It's probably right. It's just getting over when you're.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because we hauled ammunition over there and stuff, and like I say, and those ships that I was on were all run by regular citizens. They were not soldiers. I was the only soldier aboard them, and then we hauled maybe 150 or 100 or something, and they come over and got 5 days R&R. That's why I think, you know, that the war was still on for a little bit, because mm-hmm. I know I went up later, and there was Art Thomas here from Cimarron, and Kenny Weens. Kenny Weens has passed away now, but they both. Art Thomas was got to be like a master sergeant up on the front lines, and you could see where the thing was over there when mm-hmm. I went. You know, they're right along where the International Date Board and all that stuff was.
Well, the civilians that were running or piloting the ship, were they Japanese?
No.
They were American civilians.
Americans.
But not in the Army.
Yeah, not in the Army or Navy or anything.
Oh.
These are ships, I mean, because like I say, when you're getting down there, you know, they needed soldiers and all that stuff to go up there and fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then China come in the war about that time. So, that war had to still be going on right then.
Okay.
Because they ended in a few months, I think. But I know that Shinko building down there, that's one name, and then they were always protesters and stuff down when they loaded them troops out, and they had to clear the docks so somebody wouldn't shoot them and stuff.
So it was the Japanese protesting?
No, it was, you know, see over there, I remember we hauled a lot of Canadians back. I mean, there were all different forces. And they were probably the best soldiers. I was trying to think were. Here was not Americans. They were other Canada and nationalities like that there.
Okay. But you essentially lived on the ship.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, outside of Sunday school, like I say, we took us a day over and a day back.
Mm-hmm.
We sailed out of that in inland sea there. Look at a map and tell you what it is. But,
mm-hmm.
but that.
Well, so. Were you there, did you get to leave there and go have a furlough or something for?
No, that time in I had, and I can't remember, they sent me home a few days too early for this thing, and so I had to spend about a week in Washington up there before I get discharged.
Okay.
To defense early.
So that's, how many, you went over right after you finished basic training and special training.
And at school, yeah. Because that would have been 8 weeks and 8 weeks, I think. So that's 16. Maybe it ain't that long. No, I think it was because we got to go into Mexico over there. Fort Bliss, Texas is right across.
For fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, I mean, it was all because Mexico and the United States haven't always been too good of things, you know. Mm-hmm. I remember. I better not tell you about A&M.
So you were over in Japan at least a year and a half?
Yeah. Yeah, because I went from that Army time, and I there was, like I said, because I got to come home on the way to Oklahoma City and caught a ride up here, and we happened to be playing the Globetrotters here in Cimarron, and then got up back on, went down there, and had a experience that always stuck in, and I guess it's okay to tell you, but of running into same-sex people and stuff, you know, and looking in the people's eyes are looking at you, and I'd never been around any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That was quite an experience.
You probably learned a lot, didn't you, just meeting different people.
Oh, yeah, because a lot of our, in that unit we were in, were from clear away north, mm-hmm. Canadian border, you know, and mm-hmm. stuff, and trains, and like I say, Charlie Rice was a sergeant, so I got few breaks there.
I wondered about that. And what did you learn about the different kinds of people in the United States in basic training?
Well, one thing I learned was we did not, in fact, there was a law in Cimarron at that time, a black person could not stay overseas, and then an awful lot of the cooks were black, and they were being treated pretty good mm-hmm. By that time, you know.
I suppose there were no blacks in Cimarron.
No, that's what I'm saying. I just mm-hmm. we never in school or anything, and Dodge might have had a few or something, but getting to see and a lot of the other, you know, different people, and there was an awful lot of the blacks in where I was around were cooks, you know, mm-hmm. and they thought they were good poker players, but they weren't.
Oh, did you play a little poker? So what would you do? When you were in basic training and this other special training, you would have weekends off? And is that when you went over to Mexico?
But we didn't get any weekends off until the latter part of that. Maybe we got to go down there once, I think, or something.
Okay.
And it was a different experience and stuff.
And did you made friends, and did any of those friends go with you over to Japan?
No, we, because they only took, I think I'm the only one that went to transportation school back to Fort Eustis, Virginia, and it was a siding there, and it's still there, but, mm-hmm. And like I say, they're building a, it's going to be a big museum there,
mm-hmm.
and that's Newport News, Virginia, if you happen to know. It was close to it, and there's a lot of Navy people there and everything.
Okay. And why did you choose the Army over the Navy or Air Force?
Well,
do you remember?
That was the least, because you had to sign up for 4 years, I believe, neither one of them others.
Oh, I see.
And
your dad was farming, right?
Farming, right.
So you left the farm and then mm-hmm. came back to the farm?
And we were going to be drafted, but I think I signed up before, because you got a little more choice when you mm-hmm. went, when I went, you know, but because this was all new. I didn't know what that transportation, I thought I was driving a truck
right.
you know, and stuff,
but
looking for something to do, you know.
And, mm-hmm.
and I think Freddie Kramer was in about that time, and he went to helicopter school or something where he
okay
and he stayed in the United States. There weren't too many here that went over. Well, I say Art Thomas and Kenny Weens were over there from Cimarron.
Mm-hmm.
They went in at a different time than when I did.
So if you were in Japan for a year and a half, what did you do other than the work? You travel at all?
Well, some, because like I said, we went up. There was a mountain there, like there is at Tokyo, that kind of dominated this area, but I can't remember the name of it, but you can look on a Japanese Aino map,
mm-hmm.
and because we rode a train from Tokyo, Japan, down to, I wish I could remember the name of that But I could, you can look on a map and you see where this, it'll show you, because it's inland a little bit and wasn't very many miles, and that's where, because there was no place, I was just, it was still level when I was there, you know, but from the bombing and stuff, but there was a big shopping center they'd put up, and like our shopping centers, and
But you didn't travel outside of Japan?
No.
In that year and a half?
And I didn't do very much traveling in Japan, that trip down there, and then went up the mountains, and on the other western side, they had ammunition depots and stuff they took over from the Japanese, you know, when they fought that war. So, like I say, not very exciting, really. But it was nice seeing how people, and western Japan is a lot like the western United States, you know, because you can climb over the hills and they had some entertainment for these. Got to go some of that. I was starting to think.
On the base they had?
It wasn't on the base. This big building, we used several floors of it.
Oh, that's right.
Got to put them in and then they could go around. And there was different things for them to do, but I never went to much of that or anything.
Well, it sounds a little boring.
Well, no, I don't think it was boring. See, if you didn't smoke, you could sell your cigarettes, pick up a few extra bucks.
Oh,
there.
You didn't smoke, so you sold them.
Right? And there was other things like that. You got
there like a
beer.
Bar
there was a bar there and some restaurants and that, and then I don't know what many of them people did, but they had tours I think for them and. Because it was called R&R, Rest and Recuperation, that they come back from
Korea
to Japan.
Okay, so that's where they did their R&R rather than going to a city and
There was a pretty good-sized town, but I say there was no, that was the only building that we were headquartered in.
Right.
It was not a, you know, it hadn't been leveled down to about the, because it was really being rebuilt and. You know, and then they bombed on south of theirs where they bombed with the atomic bomb, you know, and stuff. And
so, do you need a glass of water?
Yeah, well, sure. My throat or something, certain. That's okay. I'll laugh.
No. I wonder if they have. I don't know. Let me go see. Let me go see if they have a bottle of water or something I can get for you. Here's a glass of water.
Okay, thank you.
You know, when you talk a lot, your throat gets dry.
Well, I got a sore throat I've had.
Uh-oh, well, don't give it to me.
I don't think it's contagious. I think it's just...
Okay, so let me ask you, during World War II, were you aware of the war and the people that went off to the war and came back?
And see, my dad and... His youngest brother got to go into World War II, but my dad had seven children and farming, and that they didn't have to go.
Right. And did you listen to the radio, or how did you find out about World War II and what was going on?
Well, we listened to the radio a lot, and like I say, my folks and even my mom, they were all from Germany, because I hear a lot of settlements, you know, in these towns.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad, that's one thing, you're going into service. He says, I didn't go, and he felt guilty about that.
Mm-hmm.
But they needed him.
On the farm,
on the
they
farm,
were
and I probably could have stayed out if But he pretty well made it clear he wanted us all, mm-hmm. us kids went in.
And did all the boys go in
mm-hmm.
to service?
Yeah, some of them got into Vietnam War, you know, in the war after that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when did you become aware of the Korean War? I mean, it really wasn't a war. It was a police action.
Yeah,
but
still, we got 36,000 troops over there yet.
Right, I know. I know. And so it would have been the same process. It was just, you just knew about it in the community and people talked about it.
And then this town seemed to have quite a few, and it was connected with churches, I think, exemptions, you know. That,
with the Mennonites?
Yeah, and some of them, yeah, and some of the other churches. And like I said, Dad made it very clear, and then my uncle, he ended up in England. He's about 10 years older than I am, maybe 8 or something, and flying and bombing over into Germany and those places, you
okay.
know. And,
well, Schwartz is from Germany. When did they come to the United States?
Well, a bunch of them would be my great-grandparents, I guess, come to Elmwood.
Mm-hmm.
And Roble is the name
oh,
of
okay.
St. Peter and Paul up north of Elmwood. That's,
right.
Well, that was my mom's mm-hmm. maiden name.
So their feeling about World War II, though, they weren't sympathetic to Germany.
No. There, I can show you a couple people up north of town here were. They plowed a swastika up there and stuff. I can remember that.
Really?
Really.
Oh, my gosh. I have never heard that.
You hadn't? Yeah, that's... well, we'll let their names out of there.
Well, yeah, but they were farmers and they just...
Right, up close to where we farmed up there, I can remember.
I'll bet that was the talk of the neighborhood.
Well, they didn't make too many friends doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so did the year and a half in Korea go fast?
Yeah, it wasn't that because, like I said, I got to meet a lot of people I knew that was in the Navy, and this was the port where the Navy pulled into
mm-hmm.
a lot, you know.
Yeah. So, okay. And then when you came home... did you go into the National Guard or anything?
Well, I think we were. I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure you had to serve some time.
Mm-hmm. And then you started farming.
Yeah, well, I went out to Colorado, Boulder, Colorado, and got my wife and brought her back here. See, I thought she loved me, but she just wanted to get away from her mother.
Well, that's not good.
No. That's. But we've been married close to 60 years, so
okay.
I guess it's working.
Right. I would think so.
Then her mother and father, her mother worked for University of Colorado, and her father was a mail carrier.
And
but
how
he
did,
had a degree also.
How did you meet her?
Well, through a family that moved out there.
Okay.
And they were in the same class, and because I went and saw them, I knew them, and mm-hmm. they introduced me, and that was how we got introduced. So the good Lord had something to do with all this, I think. And
probably keeping you together for that many years,
yeah.
too. So what did you learn from your experience in the Army that helped you or didn't help you when you came home?
Well, I think I learned, you know, met a whole group of different people, you know, mm-hmm. in the service. I mean, a lot of them. But being a little unit we were, nobody ever kept track of the other people. I might have for a little bit there.
But no reunions or anything like that?
No, because they weren't. The reunions is held by the people fighting, more or less, mm-hmm. them groups, you know, and stuff.
So when you came home, did you join the veterans?
Well, I belonged to the VFW and American Legion, yes.
Right.
And, like I say, I'm pretty sure that I didn't have to go into, because they don't say anything about it, does it?
Mm-hmm.
into the Army Reserve, and I was seeing the other day a lot of this reserves in Dodge and stuff, that some of them, and those are permanently stationed, you know, and you mm-hmm. got to do something and go to different times, going training and all that,
right.
you know.
Well, you said that your dad wanted you to go into service.
Yes.
So did
and
you...
I wanted to go, too. I mean, that wasn't because I didn't think too much of these people that were going, you know, because they're different beliefs and stuff, you know.
So did he give you any advice when you went in?
No.
What did your mother think?
Well, I don't remember. I think it was because at that time there was not very much to do in Gray County.
Mm-hmm.
You know, finding a job. And I should probably add the other reason that I went to Boulder was the barber down here said we needed another barber. And so mm-hmm. I thought I'd go to barber school and, you know, I could fill in on the farm, these two. And
did you go to barber school?
Mm-hmm. That's how I got to Boulder, Colorado, and then met these other people there. And I can't think of their names here in town. But,
and then did you come back here and be a barber?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I barbered about a year, and then I bought the Ford garage. So it took me a while to get back to farming.
Okay.
And I can always remember your sister-in-law. She's different.
That's a good word for her.
No, she's okay. I mean, even messing with that. Buying a car and claim, you know.
Well, how long were you in the Ford business?
Ten years.
Oh, okay.
And then I finally got there and I sold the building. And that gave me enough to make a down payment and kind of get in with my brother Joe and them farming. And then we broke out of there because 1980 we had about 17% interest, you know. And mm-hmm. It was inflation.
Right.
Next year you could buy the ground for half the price you paid for it. But I made it all work out. I mean, I've, like I say, done a lot of things in my life.
And, mm-hmm. Can you still barber, cut your hair?
Well, I still got a license, but...
Really?
I don't think I can stand there for long or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to find something to do because it's so boring not doing anything.
Yeah.
Taking care of the yard, you know, and these kind of things.
But you live here in town.
Well, we lived here while I had the Ford garage, and we moved out north of Cimarron, which my son-in-law now lives on the place and stuff. And we moved back to Cimarron.
Okay. All right. So... is there anything else that you can think of from your time in the military that you remember and it's a significant incident or event or person?
Well, I thought it was on the basic training got over, you know, and the railroad, we had to go down to Meade to get back on the train, you know, and I was telling you about the, what did I tell them a while ago, the black guys come up here, we're playing basketball. They're still around. What are they called?
Oh, the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yes, yes. We got to watch the whole Harlem Globetrotters.
Mm-hmm. So when you went to Kansas City, did you go on the train? Or did you...
I don't know. That's a good... See, my memory is...
Mm-hmm. But you were the only one from Cimarron at that time going in.
Yeah, well, we went to base up there, what's it called, but Topeka?
Forbes? No.
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 There's still the Army's there.
Fort Leavenworth?
No, that's on in further. Mm. Right east of...
Topeka?
Yeah, it's around there by Topeka, and they still got a ground there, and I was trying to think what that building is. They've closed that part of it down, but there's still Army there, and I think they're giving some thought about closing it all down now.
Okay.
And no, because when we got out of there, I think we got on an airplane in Kansas City and flew to Fort Bliss, Texas.
So you didn't get to come home after your physical?
Well, for that, on the way, they let us get a ride and then had to go back down to Meade and get on the train, yeah.
And then after your basic and special training... before you went to Japan, did you get to come home for a couple weeks?
No.
No?
No, that was, like I said, that's why I think it was the war was still going on because a lot of these things, and they, like I say, we had to borrow guns and clean them back and forth. And mm-hmm.
Did you find that a little odd that they didn't have enough guns?
Well, yes and no, but it was, they were kind of getting ready to, you know, and we just were still fighting a big war over there. Had a lot of people over there,
right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
General MacArthur, I think, was still in command there and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, like I say, it was quite an arc. Nobody shot at me, and I always
but you
was wondering if
you
I could shoot.
Armed.
No.
No. Okay. And did your parents write to you and you would write to them?
Yes. Yeah, we communicated back and forth and everything. Like I say, one of the experiences out of that was meeting black people and finding out that there's plenty of good ones out there, you mm-hmm. know, and everything. And because I told you about that other thing up there, plowing that Swastika.
Right. Did the community do anything or say anything?
No, it was just, you know, they were the minority, these people, because most people that was over here stood up for the United States. They mm-hmm. come over here because it wasn't nice where they were living, you know. Mm-hmm. And she's got a book out here that a guy come and spoke to us on that was in the towns up through north of here. And if you get a chance, you can ask her about it. It's really very interesting, the history. And he got all these things that we signed her a little bit ago, showing that he had permission to use this in his book and everything.
So he did some oral histories.
Yeah.
In writing the book.
Right, writing the book and how to do it. And it was basically a family history.
Oh, okay.
But it was up north of here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of Catholics live up there and stuff, and mm-hmm. On 96 Highway and stuff. And it was very, very interesting. I wish I'd had any tendency to do anything like that, but it was his family. And,
mm-hmm.
and he done is very, and it's a very interesting book. In fact, it was Germans also, you know.
Right. When you were in Japan, because you weren't on a base, were there religious services for people or not?
Yeah, we had religious services there and confession. But those were Japanese priests there. They didn't speak English, so it was a lot easier to go to confession.
Of course it was. You could probably have confessed everything.
No, we had to, you know, the religious part. And being that was the old, old history of Japan there, it was going up and seeing some of those, their things there, you know, and they were mm-hmm. all close. And we took, you know, a day or two. Spent some time doing these different things.
Did you have much contact with the Japanese people?
Well, quite a few. Probably not that much, but we had quite a few because there's a lot of gals worked in our thing as secretaries and stuff. And,
mm-hmm.
and if you could bring, but you better not try to bring a Japanese girl that happened to work in a house of prostitution or anything, because they wouldn't pay for them coming over.
Mm-hmm.
But I met lots of nice, you know, people in that building. We had lots of them working in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had at one time, what's her name, famous people back in them days, and her husband come over there on their...
Oh, their tour?
Tours, yeah, showing, you know, and we had, you know, filled in there. And
mm-hmm.
I'm very lucky. I think in my experience in the services, outside of that one I told you about and stuff, it didn't hurt my mm-hmm. personality or anything. I don't think I done anything too bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have. You used to ask it about that, and I just hadn't brought up. I had a girlfriend that lived by Zook up there where we come from, and we were getting pretty serious, and she. Wanted to get married, and I said, no, I'm not going to get married because I may not do things that a married man, you know, being that way and other things. And so she, about 2 weeks before I left, she got married with another guy.
She showed you.
And, you know, because we knew their family and everything from Belpre and
mm-hmm.
good people. But, I've... You know, tried to be a half decent good person.
Well, sure.
I'm still working on trying to get to heaven.
Well, Godspeed you to heaven. When you came home, you'd been gone a year and a half. Did you feel like you had missed out on things when you were gone?
No, not really, because I didn't spend that much time after I got out of the Army to go out to Boulder, Colorado, well, the barber school. And the reason, here's one more point why I think the good Lord was in there, is Wichita had a barber school, but it was full. I couldn't mm-hmm. get in there. And I wanted to do it in this period of you know, we planted the wheat and all these other things and come back here. And so I went out there, and I could get in barber school in Boulder, in Denver. Boulder didn't have a barber school. And I don't know if we've even got one in Wichita anymore, because women are doing cut most of this hair.
I think there may be a barber college.
Well, there used to be one in Wichita, but somebody said it ain't there no more.
Oh, well, that's quite possible.
See, Dodge City Juco, I think, has got beauticians.
Right.
That stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And,
And who was the barber that was in Cimarron that sort of...
I know you'd ask that. He used to be right on the north side of... or on the south side of Highway 50 here, right behind them buildings that were there.
Okay.
And...
well, that's all right.
He's dead.
Okay. Well, that's important to know. And you said that some of your younger brothers got into the Vietnam War?
Yeah, Vietnam, and then some of them was over on the edge of Africa there or someplace. And like I say, they both... well, my dad decided for a few years he wanted to live in Salem, Oregon. But they got out there, and they come back every year that it rains too darn much, and that's very depressing out there.
Yes.
I mean, seriously. I
know.
And so they moved back here and opened a bowling alley down here. And in this period of time, I'm working with all this. You know?
Well, I didn't know all that about the Sharks. I just assumed you farmed and nothing.
Well,
happened.
He did, but he come back and farmed. And
So do most of your brothers live around here?
Well, Joe lives. He did live here, Joe. He moved to, sold all everything out and moved to Delhart, Texas. Because they still got water down there to irrigate with and stuff.
For now.
So for now, because they'll pump her all out. And I was on the southwest area on the aging. That's what my wife does now. I was on the Groundwater Management District 3 out here, board and stuff. And that was, several years ago. And we didn't even have water meters on at that time. So we got them in because we over-appropriated all this ground. Now I've been working with trying to get that everybody, see in Colby, everybody agreed to give up so much water up there, inches of water. So and it's working so we can make this stuff last a lot longer. And now they're thinking about tapping into the Missouri River and bringing that water out here. And that'll be expensive water if it
does. I would think so. So is that water use management, is that coming out of the government?
Well, Groundwater Management District 3 covers our area around here.
Okay.
And they'll, if you overpump and stuff, they'll stick it to you pretty good the second time. They'll let you get by once or something.
So there are officials or something that
go they're the state, and then... our governor now, he had a meeting or two out here last year, and we met over there in the new Garden City High School, and out here. And he's concerned, that this ain't going to be a nice place to live when we run out of water, because we're going to have a lot of unemployed people. Your feed yards will leave, and your packing plants will leave. And
the river no longer exists, Well, of course, I've been away since about 1962, and when I come back, it looks much more desolate. I mean, the trees are dying.
Well, we've had some of these. I mean, we've had a lot more trees die this last year or two, and drought. But to people, we've tried to put meetings together, and I call it greed. But, they're going to keep this water, and they don't care if they ain't worried about their children or somebody. And I think it's our whole government is our problem with that.
It's complicated, that's for sure.
Well, and you saw right now what this government thing they're doing, and everything. And who do you believe on anything of the stuff they tell you? Obamacare ain't no good, this guy says, and the other says it is.
I know.
It has its place. If it fits into your schedule, then it's good.
It is complicated, and I think we have a lot of people. I mean, we have a huge population, and it's hard to really deal with that many people.
Well, my wife is on the groundwater, So it's what's area on the aging, or
right.
the same area of the plains.
Mm-hmm.
And there, we got people working, trying to do, you know, work on these things.
Mm-hmm. So and would you say that you're political? I mean, that you are involved in political things?
I guess, yeah, to always a certain degree.
Always have been?
Yeah, well, that's in, like I say, I've got on the Groundwater Management District Board, and because they needed somebody from Gray County and different things. And now I approach it from, I want this to be a good place for our children to live.
Because
mm-hmm. I got four of my daughters live out here, and the fifth one lives in Dallas, Texas, and she makes all the money. She's a lawyer.
Well, she would. Yeah. Okay. Well, can you think of anything else? Let me look at this.
Okay.
I think we covered... The one question that I haven't mm-hmm. talked about is, did your experiences in the military, and admittedly yours was, you know, after World War II, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
Does that affect how you think about war? I mean, we're still involved in.
Yeah, I've got a whole bunch of wars over there, and we still got 36,000 troops in Korea
mm-hmm.
and North Korea, you know. I'll say I was up on that line and saw some of this. Nobody shot at me, but
mm-hmm.
it was after that, mm-hmm. I think, when it ended, legally. And China's still there. I've become, you know, I think that helped a lot get involved. And I was even on the Cimarron City Council here, so
okay.
I forgot about that 4 years or so. The schools that... year I graduated, we built this gym that's still left up here. And now Spearville's got one that same age, but they don't have air conditioner there, and they're finally building a new gym.
Takes money to build, though.
You better believe it.
Yeah. Well, okay. Can you think of anything else that you'd like to say?
No, like I said, I cannot be, you know, because... I was treated very good in the U.S. Army.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you have sons? Do you have sons?
No, I have just five daughters.
Okay, if you had a son, would you have advised him to go into the Army?
Yeah, I think so, because I think it's, you know, part of our country. And
mm-hmm.
But the only troops that didn't get treated very nice, in my opinion, is the Vietnam War veterans. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they were... And we have a priest over at Ingalls that's from Vietnam now, and he's a character.
Mm-hmm.
And he had come over here to become a priest because you couldn't become a priest over in...
Right.
Because the communists run that place, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So...
And,
okay, well, I think then I'm going to turn this off.
Okay.